be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today, July 25th, is the feast of St. James the Apostle. There are two apostles named James. This James was the brother of John, and we read near the beginning of several of the Gospels about his call to be an apostle. And of course, today in Acts, we have the end of the story, at least in this world, with his martyrdom after the ascension. James is one of the three closest followers of our Lord. He appears with his brother John and with St. Peter in a number of incidents without any of the other apostles. The Transfiguration, for instance, also a healing of a girl, and a couple other cases of the sort. So we know a fair amount about him. One of the, I think, facts that indicates to us the genuineness of the gospel accounts, they weren't just cooked up by the church, is that the gospels present so many of the important early leaders of the church in a very bad light. So St. Paul often appeals to be rather bumbling, rather confused. And here we have James and John, and the story that was our gospel lesson today, pushing themselves forward. They want promotion. And my text refers to this. They actually put their mother up to do this for them in Matthew's gospel. St. Matthew 20, verse 21, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. This story also occurs in a very similar version in the 10th chapter of St. Mark. There's a difference that's immediately apparent, because in St. Mark's version, James and John ask for this promotion. They want the best seats when Jesus comes back in glory, whereas as I've just said, in St. Matthew's version, they put their mom up to asking this for them. Perhaps reckoning that this kind of self-seeking, which isn't really very attractive in any kind of setting, might be a little more acceptable if they don't ask directly but find someone else to do it for them. In the subsequent conversation, however, our Lord cuts through this pretense and speaks directly not to Salome, their mother, but to them, because he knows what is really happening. And I think there's an implied rebuke there. Why are you dragging your mom into this, he seems to say. We all know who's really asking this, so I'm going to talk to you directly. Chutzpah is not a Christian term, but it does seem to apply here to James and John. Well, they are Jewish, after all. Now, if that's the first rebuke, if that's merely implied, there's a second rebuke, I think, which is more direct, when our Lord tells the brothers that promotion and leadership in the kingdom of heaven and when he returns in glory is not something that comes from a sort of glorification, but rather comes from service and suffering. It means drinking a cup, and that cup is going to reappear later at the Garden of Gethsemane, when our Lord himself asked his Father to please take it away from him. He would rather not have to drink it. But he says those who would be great in the kingdom have to drink that cup. So that gives us an idea of the kind of suffering that is expected for Christian leaders. It's not so much a reward as an act of service. Now here the brothers say, "We're ready, Lord. We are absolutely ready and able to drink that cup." Of course, we know they won't. They will run away when it comes time at the crucifixion. But to continue for a moment with this idea that our Lord is rebuking the brothers for their presumption, we might see a third rebuke in the immediate aftermath to this story. So if you look in your Gospels and Matthew 20 and follow from the end of this story that we just read, the next scene, the next story in chapter 20 in Matthew, is a story of two blind beggars who ask our Lord to heal them. Behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Two men. Immediately before that, two brothers. Two blind men who don't see. Two brothers who don't understand. I see that as a pretty clearly connected pair of stories. And part of what we're being told here is the blind men are personifications of the confusion of James and John in today's story. And I think the implication is, just as our Lord heals the blind man, so eventually he's going to heal James and John of their confusion and their misunderstanding that following our Lord means great things. Well, great things perhaps, but great things that involve suffering. So, our Lord, I think, has corrected the two brothers who want to sit one on his right hand and another on the left. And then immediately thereafter, we have the story of two blind men being healed, which I think illustrates his correction of James and John. Let me remind you of one other occasion in this gospel where we have two men, one on the right hand and one on the left of our Lord. That story is the story of the crucifixion. In that familiar story, you will remember, there were two thieves crucified him, one on the right hand and another on the left. The same phrase is used. Well, on that occasion, the cup of our Lord's sufferings has been filled to the brim. His Father in heaven has not taken away the cup. James and John confidently asserted that they were able to drink that cup and therefore perhaps deserve the thrones which they asked for. But in fact, on Golgotha, James and John are nowhere to be seen, nor are any of the other apostles except John and, of course, the faithful women. So I think at the cross we may see a fourth and final rebuke for the pushy brothers. Later church legend tells us that most of the apostles eventually died for our Lord. The only exception was John, who is the only one who didn't run away. I never thought, I'm just thinking of that right now. That is interesting, isn't it? That all of the apostles suffered martyrdom except the one who didn't run away. Okay, I'm going to have to think about that one. That will be a future sermon. But St. Matthew carefully is noting pairs of men. James and John, two blind men, two thieves at Golgotha. He's repeatedly showing that, I think, to rebuke the ignorant and prideful blindness of which we read in today's lesson. At any point, the basic point, the main lesson I think we're supposed to get from this is made clearly in the gospel today. Whatever may come for us in the kingdom of heaven, when God's will be perfectly and fully done, here and now in this world, Christians are called to lead by serving, to live by giving up our lives for others, and to be saved by abandoning ourselves to divine providence, sometimes alarming providence. This lesson is simple to state and difficult to absorb, easy to assert and hard to fulfill, which is true of most of the most important things about being a Christian. Forgive. Trust God. So easy to say and so hard to do. In Matthew's gospel, among other things, our Lord is teaching his apostles. He is forming them. He slowly selects, rebukes, corrects, warns, shapes, and blesses them. St. James, whom we honor today, did not begin as the great apostle, one of our Lord's three closest followers. Only little by little was he formed into that character, and that's true of us today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.